We're ready. All right. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good? Yeah, same here. All right. I'll just start us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this good morning. That we all made it. We made it on time, even with the time change. Grateful for all your blessings that you've given us. Grateful for each other. As we fellowship and we come together to learn your word and let you be magnified. Just grateful, just everybody that we have, that all the teachers, all the people here that work together as a unit, as the body of Christ, that we build each other up and we help each other. And I'm grateful for everybody that's here and that's not here. And we just love that we have this church, and just let your word be glorified and magnified above all, and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So, I had a good week, and I'm feeling good. Got a new haircut, and clean shave. I went zero all the way, but it's good to see everybody. Like I said, I'm grateful to be up here, and just glad that I'm able to have the opportunity to let the Lord speak for himself, because man shall not live on bread alone, right? So we need God's word to live and to move forward. And all right, so as we all know that I'm in Colossians, and we just finished Colossians chapter 2. Well, I'm going to kind of, we're going to get into chapter 3. I'm going to kind of review chapter 1, chapter 2 real quick, just to kind of know what the book of Colossians is, and so we can, you know, that's what repetition and repeating, so we can get these and know these, and we can be like, oh yeah, Colossians, I know all about that. So whenever it's time to defend the faith, you know, when we're out there in the world. And obviously Colossians, the Apostle Paul was in jail when he wrote this, and that he didn't never met them. And he heard about them, and a guy named Epaphras was in the school of Tyrannus that you see in Acts 19 in Ephesus. More than likely learned from there and branched off, and he helped create the church that is Colossae. So the apostles, the Colossians went from paganism into the grace message. So they kind of switched and learned these truths, and so Epaphras has some other things going on too that's in the future, but he sees that Colossians are doing well, that they have the hope in them, they have love in them, that they're learning and they're building up in this truth that we know even till today, so many years later. So it's all relevant for today, and we find out that Christ is the creator. Lord Jesus Christ is the creator. He has preeminence. He was the first to be resurrected. And that he's the firstborn of every creature. We learned that in chapter 1. And then we see about the mystery, and that he gets into the mystery and how these things were hid, and then now is made manifest. And then in chapter 2, he has the warnings that he gives the church, that they're people are going in there and teaching false doctrines, and that these warnings beware any man rob you, beware any man beguile you, and beware any man judge you. So these three warnings beware, whenever you see a sign, beware, you know that, hey, be careful. So, and that's what he's saying here, of these false doctrines, that the traditions of men, and you know, the philosophies and vain deceit, that it's all no good. Once you, that men start going in themselves, self-righteousness, that you know, like how they were doing in Athens, you know, and the Apostle Paul had to contend with them and let them know who is that unknown God, who is the, you know, who is resurrected, and that other warning is to let no man judge you in meat and drink and holy day and Sabbath days, that we don't have to do that he nailed all that to the cross, the ordinances, and that it's not, that's not for, the law is not for today, and that we're under grace, and that let no man beguile you of voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. You know, that voluntary humility, we went into some of that. So these, you know, that all look at me, how bad I'm suffering for. Yeah, the Lord says we suffer, but not for ourselves. So, for the furtherance of the gospel, for what the truth is. So, those warnings, and we kind of went into them, and so now we know that we kind of are sharpened up on the first two chapters of Colossians, and that's where we're at. So now, Colossians chapter 2 was kind of how not to live. In Colossians chapter 3, we're not going to get into that today, but it's how to live. And that will be the next, probably next week. But I'm going to go through the first four verses. So this might be quick. This might be a quick one, but we'll see how this goes. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And we'll start. So, yeah, we just got done with these warnings, and and just to kind of quickly say in verse 21 in chapter 2, he said, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all perish. You know, these are the commandments and doctrines of men, and we don't get our orders from men. We get our orders from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he, and that's through Paul's epistles. So even though it's Paul, the Lord has ordained him to be the apostle for today, for us. So, and that's the truth that I hope that the world will come to know as fast as they can, because they've strayed away from that or don't even want to hear it. But all right, chapter 3, verse 1. If, so there goes that word if again. So, but we'll say, we'll just read it through. You know, we'll read all four and we'll kind of get the thing. So, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So that's a beautiful little statement saying, hey, and so this word if, so if you are a true believer, if you seek things above, you know, if you're a true believer, but it's also a challenge in my eyes. I'm seeing that he's challenging. Okay, so he went through verse 1, verse 2, saying, hey, these false doctrines, you know, you guys been doing good, the Colossian church. So now if you then be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. So we've seen in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 23, that it was a challenge. In chapter 2, verse 20, that he challenged with that word if. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? We are not subject to ordinances. So he's challenging, why are you trying to do that if you are doing this? So, and I think he's doing the same thing here. And that's, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we want to note that we're not tied to this world. You know, this ain't our, we know that. We're not tied to this world. As beautiful as it is, it's got a lot of beauty in it. And it's got, I mean, from the jungles to the forests to the oceans to the beach to, you know, just our lives. But we're not tied to this world. Our possessions, our accomplishments, that cannot be compared to what we got, you know, and what we got waiting in store for us, you know, our heavenly hope. And, you know, to just to be present with the Lord, that's going to be way far greater than anything we got going on here. So, like I just read in Colossians 2:20, that we're separated for the rudiments of this world. You know, we're separated from that. We have a whole new, we're a new man, and it's a whole new thing. You know, the Lord says, put on the new man, you know, in Ephesians 4:24. Put on that new man and put the old things away, because this world, the Lord will destroy it one day, and he'll create a new earth, a new heaven. That's way in the future, but this is not where, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, these things aren't, that we can, things are nice, you know, but, and we're going to get that, we're going to get that into verse 2, but Christ finished the work of the cross and went into the throne room of God and positionally is at the Father's right hand interceding for us. So do you see that he's sitting at the right hand? So we see that in when Stephen was talking to to Israel and before he got stoned, where was Christ? He was standing, right? Because he was going to, you know, bringing, you know, he was going to have wrath. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. He was going to pour out his wrath or accept the kingdom, one of the two, if you guys could let me know that. But he was standing. But right now he's sitting. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that right, whenever you hear right hand, that's a place of favor. So the Lord is in a place of favor right now. You know, he's not just the creator. But he's in a place of favor of the Father. And the and we are in that. We have a part of that. We're in that place of favor. In that, you know, that right hand. You know, that's our hope. So we have a creator God, you know, who gives glory to the Father. So he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we are part of that majesty that the Lord has. And it was all because he loved us. And we'll see, you know, and this is his purpose for us, you know. So this over here, but Psalms 110 and 1, I wasn't going to go to it, but we know that David is saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, he sitteth at the right hand of the Father until he make your enemies your footstool. So we know that that's just not Pauline. We know that the Lord sits at the right hand of the Father right now. So we should be preaching Christ resurrected. You know, Christ, not on his earthly ministry, even though it's good to learn from that. Christ is resurrected. He's in heaven right now. And he will get up and come for us. You know, and that's at the rapture. When we get raptured, he'll get up and he'll be coming. He'll meet us in the air and we'll be there. So that's all our heavenly hopes, seeking things above, our ambassadorship. So once we have a heavenly home, now we're ambassadors in Christ, and we got a job to do here. And we know that. So I want to just go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. So we know this passage, but it's good to hear. So, this is another powerful passage, even though God's word's all for edification and all for learning. But, and I know we know these, but I just want to quickly read through this because just to kind of, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things. So he's the heir of all things. You know, like I said, we're tied into that. By whom also he made the world. So he's the creator. It's another one. These are powerful verses that you could just show that anybody that wants to say, who's Christ? Well, here he is. This is who he is. Who being the brightness of his glory, see, he's God, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. See that? From the word of his power. When he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So that's, you know, like where I always want to say that these Bible verses, these are evidence. This is proof. Anybody that wants to see proof, that's proof. And I have this book that I got when I went to Amish country. It was a nice little book, but it's like scientific facts of the Bible. If I don't get through this, I can kind of read through it, but I just fascinated how much of the Bible is true. All these things that it talks about that man just finding out, you know. And we know a lot of them, you know, law of entropy and, you know, the way the water currents under the oceans. And there's a bunch of them, but these are just proofs. So God's word is, There's not a word that can, there's not a book that can contend with God's word. And then they couldn't even stand up, not one single book, because so many truths and proofs and things that are in it that just blow everything out of the water, because it's all, there's so many prophecies. I think it was like just 10 of the, there's many prophecies, there's so many, and just 10 being fulfilled is like impossible. And there was way more than 10. We want to say there's hundreds. So, you know, there's... So, yeah, there's no way. So we know that to be true. But I kind of want to get into... let's go to John chapter 8. And here in John chapter 8, Christ is himself is contending with the Pharisees. And I want to get into this John chapter 8. Verse 13. And I kind of want to get into this because we see that seek the things above, you know, and not of the things of the earth. So maybe there are some believers that are not all the way believing what's going on, you know, what we have. You know, they don't, and I'll get into that, like I said, but, or some unbelievers. But to me, this is some powerful stuff. John chapter 8. Verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself? Thy record is not true. So, see, they don't believe that it was true. Even to today, they don't believe that it's true. So let's jump to verse 44. Same chapter. And what did he say? You are of your father and the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is not a liar. He's not. The devil is the liar. And he's the one that always trying to make Christ and make God into a lie. And the Lord had to deal with that. And we deal with it today. And just to finish off, let's go to verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say in truth, why do you believe in me? So, the Lord's saying, who are you going to say, which of you can say that I'm sinning? Which of you saying who, that I'm not who I am saying I am? You know, that's the Lord defending himself, saying, no, there's no, the Lord never sinned. It's a hard thing to kind of comprehend, but that's why we had that sinless Lord that died for our sins, and, you know, because we can't do it. We're sinners, sinful. Do it every single day. Every single person on the planet sins every single day. So that's why we want to keep that into, you know, put on that new man and to keep our, seek those things which are above. So I wanted to get into that because that's, you know, for anybody that's listening, you know, the, like I said, Christ is not a liar. He died for us. Everything that happened is real. Everything that happened to him is real. He died, he was buried, and then he was crucified, and he is resurrected. That's a real thing. So, you know, that's what I think Paul is kind of getting at. You know, if he, you know, if you believe these things, this is real stuff. So, you know, so seek your, look at them things that are, that we have. Don't look, don't keep your mind on earth. Don't mind earthly things, you know. And so I think he was getting into that. And I think he, you know, and why do believers and unbelievers seek those things which are on earth instead of which are above? And, you know, it could be laziness, you know, it's sin or whatever. But I think simply people don't believe the spiritual heavenly blessings are to be desired as much as physical and temporal things of earth. They like what the earth, the world has to offer more than what God has to offer. I think it's simple. It's that simple. We get caught up in what the world has to offer. Music, you know, athletes, all these other things. We kind of lose our way to what we should be always. And I'm not saying those things aren't bad, because you can, them, some, you know, things are good. You know, some people play video games all day. You know, they kind of waste their time, but they kind of making that their God instead of, because I play a video game, you know, I do, I'll watch a a thing on TV. I'll do these things, but it's priorities. We want to put the Lord first. Prioritize God's word and the Lord first. And because, you know, I think sometimes we get lost in what the world has to offer. And we know that who is the prince of this world? You know, Satan. So he's got his hand and he's got his little conniving self behind a lot of that stuff. And for you to recognize what's going on and to be, to have that full assurance of understanding is that you got to get into God's word and you got to see what God says about these things and to be a mature Christian and, you know, and to be, so to just, to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge, to grow in understanding, so you can recognize and catch yourself and be like, all right, I'm doing this too much. Let me cut this off first, you know, because it's easy to get lost in the world. Movies, it's on and on. So, the pleasures of this world. So, so let's go back to Colossians. All right. Colossians. I need some, put a bookmark or something. All right. So that's seek. And I wanted to say that seek is like to pursue, to endeavor. You know, you want to be pursuing them things. So, but in verse 2, set your affection on things above and not on things on earth. So, seek these things and then set. So, setting your things is kind of, you know, whatever you like. So, whatever your liking is, what we desire most, it's like a will kind of thing now. Now you're getting into a will. So, action, you know, taking, acting on these things. And, you know, our will and decision to act out our faith by living our lives in service to our Lord, knowing we are risen with Christ. See, that's a big thing. That's why I was saying these things are real. We're risen with Christ. And to act on these things, you know, it's not just enough just to think on these things and do them. We want to act them out. You know, we want to be part of, you know, what God wants us to do, you know, because we know that our citizenship is in heaven. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, just a few verses to the side, just to kind of prove. And for anybody listening, if you ever want to, I know we all know, but anybody listening, you want to compare Scripture with Scripture. You want to let the Holy Spirit to guide what's going on instead of what a man thinks or what anybody thinks or how they feel about what the Bible says. We want to take a piece of Scripture and go to another place in Scripture and compare those and let the Bible speak for itself instead of man saying, well, I think this is what that means. No, let's see what God says about what that means. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. And this is another book, Philippians, that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was locked up. And this is a book of, you know, rejoicing, which we should always try and find in our moments of our life, to rejoice in what we have. Because, like I said, we have something that far exceeds what the earth has to offer. Verse 17. Chapter 3. Brethren, be followers together of me. See, the Apostle Paul is saying, follow me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So, verse 20, for our conversation, citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look from the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where you see our citizenship is in heaven. It's in those, not to mind earthly things, for their God is their belly. You know, that's Scripture saying it. It's not me. So, so there's, it has nothing to do with me. And I always would love to encourage Don't take what a man has to say, or anybody like me, or anybody. Go and find out if them things are so on your own. Because that's, well, you'll furnish yourself, and you'll, you know, it's always find out for yourself. You know, don't listen to, it's good to hear. A lot of times there are truths being said, but you always want to find out for yourself, because we have a personal relationship with Christ. It's a personal thing, intimate. You want to have that intimacy with the Lord, so you can know yourself, okay, this is the truth, not just what somebody else said, you know. So, all right, and, yeah, we went through the priorities, we want to be doing everything that first, what the Lord wants us, you know, not our job, not money, not lifestyles, our lifestyles, what the Lord says, you know, what the word, our heavenly hope that we have, and, you know, that's where we're going to be spending eternity. What's 80 years to eternity? You know, so I'd rather be focused on that eternity thing, you know, so I can be, okay, so this is what the Lord, okay, he says do this, and then this will happen, you know, be, you know, and we're going to get into that, but the natural man measures value and success in terms of things upon the earth. A spiritual man does not belong to themselves. Spiritual men do not belong to themselves. They have been bought with the blood of Christ. Measures value and success in the right relationship with God. So, I want to show you, and let's go to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to see what the natural man does. Luke chapter 12. And we don't want to be part of the natural man. We want to be part of the spiritual man. Because I always have heard before, you know, that Christians, Christians are soft, or, you know, like weak, or, you know. No, I think Christians men should be bold and assertive and strong and stand strong and speak up for what is true, to be soldiers. I think Christian men should be tough and ready to, you know, defend the faith, defend their family, defend their country, you know, learn, be, you know, be always learning, be doers, and don't be lazy. I think that's what Christian men are the cream of the crop, you know, the best of the best. Instead of what the world or other churches, well, you have to be humble. Yeah, those are all good things. Of course, we got to be humble. But at the same time, we don't want to be pushovers, you know. In my eyes, a Christian man should be ready to stand firm, you know, and always, you know, put on that armor, you know, and be ready to defend what the truth is. So, Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will put down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, we're laying up treasures for ourselves, that's never going to work for you. The Lord calls you a fool. So we want to be doing for what God is talking, what God is demanding of us for this, for a certain dispensation, whatever the rules God has, we should be following the rules. And today, we're under the dispensation of grace. And the Lord demands of us to follow Paul's epistles and to learn from those and to know that you are under grace and you're not under law. And then not to be putting stipulations on each other. And that we're under the economy of love. We should be loving each other. and following God's way instead of the earth, instead of the worldly ways. And so that was another good verse that I appreciated. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. So we're going to see what the spiritual man, we're going to find out what the spiritual man has to do. Well, Ephesians chapter 2. Well, you know, I always like the Ephesians chapter 2. I always like the Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. To live is for Christ, to die is the gain. You know, that's what the spiritual man should be living for Christ, and he knows, he goes, he's gaining. You know, and that I heard the pastor Kurt call it the answer to life. You know, so a lot of people do look for the answer to life, and I feel that's the answer to life too. To live is for Christ, to die is the gain. To do what the Lord Jesus Christ is setting us out to do, and He wants us to get in His Word, and that's and it. Just kind of like. And the more I talk with others and try and, you know, defend, people don't want to read. I think that's really a big thing. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to find out. It's a sad truth. I know there's people that do, you know, and people want to say, well, what about this? I feel about this, and it's not even about that. Like, you know, I'm not trying to contend on how you feel and how you think. Let's find out if these things are so. The Bible. This is, and God has put His word above all His name. That's a powerful statement to me. You know, and every knee shall bow at His name. Every creature that's ever been created is going to bow at His name. There's some powerful creatures out there. They have angels. You know, and He put His word above that. So to me, that just strikes me true. Because it's like, dang. We really should be reading this Bible, man. You know, we really should be getting into it. And I feel, and I hope you can, the Holy Spirit works in you to kind of feel what I'm saying right now, because to me it's that deep. You know, God's word is infinite, and it's true, and He wants us to be in it. So if you want, like I heard the pastor Dave Stewart said, if you want God to talk to you, get in His word. And when we talk to Him, we pray. So, and prayer is another powerful thing that I've come to learn just, you know, fairly recently. So, I'm grateful for that. But to live is for Christ, to die is gain, to answer to life. So, you know, so I like that one. But, Ephesians chapter 2, and I encourage anybody to read from verse the whole chapter, because it's got our whole, you know, 2 verse 8 where it's, we are saved by grace, you know, and then you're saved, you for by grace are you saved, and you know, and through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So this is a gift, it's a free gift, you don't work for it. So you, just so you know, these are proofs, again, tangible proofs. But you know what, we can start in verse 6. You know, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins and hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved. So, and what we read in Colossians kind of gets into that. But, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. So there goes a proof there. We sit in heavenly places with Christ. He raised us up. That in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. The exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness. He's kind to us, toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with what you're doing. Has nothing to do with how you do it, what you're doing. It's what you believe, and it is the gift of it is the gift of God that you believe the gospel, that Christ died on your cross, was buried, rose again. So, excuse me, it's that simple. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, that's plain English. So, you know, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you ain't got nothing to say. Look what I did. Look at me. Look how great I am. Look at me. No, it's all him. So, for we, this is the verse I wanted to get to. For we are His workmanship, which is it's a strong word. I have it written here that the Greek, in Greek, it's like poem or symphony, you know, a beautiful thing, workmanship, you know. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, first, you get saved, and you know your position, the word sitting in the heavenlies. Then you do the good works. It's not good works, and then you are working towards your salvation. That's backwards, and that's what most of Christendom is doing. That's backwards, and I'm just the kid from down the street, and this is plain English to me, you know. So I know if I can get it, anybody can get it, you know. So it's you get saved, then you're onto good works for the Lord Jesus Christ, for to live is for Christ, to die is the gain. So we kind of wanted to get into that, so we can get that. But let's go back to Colossians. Mm-mm. And what we're doing now is comparing Scripture with Scripture. So we're, as you see, I'm making a statement, and I'm backing it up with Scripture. So for anybody listening, and this is the best way to define what God's Word has to say. For ye are dead, and your life is hid. Verse 3, chapter 3, Colossians. And then that's what that Ephesians 2, you know, he has quickened us. But for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you got dead and life in the same verse. You know, that's kind of tricky, but we put off that old man, you know. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us life. And our life is hid with him. In verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3 in Colossians, we have another thing, which is, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we got it. Those another thing is that's hid, is wisdom and knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. True wisdom, true knowledge, not wisdom of this world. You know, you can rest assured that you're getting good stuff. So, you know, Christ died our death, overcame death, and went from death to resurrection life. Amen. And that resurrection life is what we have. We're identifying that resurrection life, and it's got power. It's straight powerful. This dude lived a sinless death. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about, lived a sinless death and resurrected by the operation of God. Resurrected him. You know, God resurrected, and that's power. He defeated death. Defeated, made a show openly of all the principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, and these are the guys who are behind the scenes doing the things, you know, the angels, you know, the bad ones, and he made a show openly of them, and said, you guys have power, but nothing like this. I'm getting the Gentiles, you know, I'm saving people and getting them on my team, and to me, that's just it's just power that we can't even fathom. And let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Kind of go over this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. When we know in this chapter that, you know what, let's do verse 9, because I just like that verse. Chapter 2, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, here's some verses, some papers, Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Apostle Paul, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So I like that verse, because that's just proof saying, hey, well, the Apostle Paul is doing something different than what Peter is doing. And Peter recognized that. So, and that he worked to the heathen, which is us, and that they were still going to go to the circumcision. But the verse I want is verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. There we go again. Huh? Yeah, yeah. So, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, he loves us. He loves us. And we, the life we live is his life for him in his honor. That's all he asks. Live for me. You know, believe me. Live for me. Live a good life. I mean, how bad is that? You know, but the world makes it twists. That's what we've seen in John chapter 8. The devil. You know, ye are of your devil. You don't believe in me. He's telling the Pharisees, but the devil twists. He just twists all the truths and makes it like this is some bad thing to follow Jesus, you know. And I just want to say for us that live in the United States, okay, and it's not a perfect country. But when the forefathers created this country, most of them believed in the triune God. They read their Bible and they put a lot of biblical practices into the Constitution and Bill of Rights. They use a lot of Judeo law, you know, just the Bible. And we've seen how great this country basically was, how it flourished. It had problems, you know. Every country has problems. But it had the basic things there where the country was rich, had, you know, we were the number one. And I think it's just, you know, there's always going to be problems in every country, but I believe that. I believe that when you apply God's word, you become number one. You know, you become the best that you can be. And I just seen here that I live, yet not I. You know, it's not I. It's the Lord Jesus Christ through us. Let him work through your life. Then you need to get that food, which is the Bible. You know, that food, that's that food that we need. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. And this should be the last one that we go to. Oh, you know what? Let me read off Colossians, the last verse. Colossians chapter 3. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. So I'm just going to read all of them one more time, the whole 1 through 4. So, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. So, we've seen all that. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, have that will to act on the things that are above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We're going to appear with him in glory. That glory. And then just go to Romans chapter 8. So when we appear with him in glory. So that was a kind of funny verse for me. I mean, it could be tied with the rapture. If you guys have any thoughts, let me know. But excuse me. But I can't wait to appear with him in glory. You know. And it's all for him, by him. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So we have that new spirit. So when Adam sinned, then we had that spiritual death, you know. Now we're quickened with new life, with new spirit. Now we have the two natures. And you'll see that in Romans, that they contend with each other. And you want to feed, obviously, the spirit. But let me go to verse 14. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. That's legalism. You know, the spirit of the law, that's not us. We're not under bondage. We don't have that fear. The bondage again to fear. And I think a lot of religions have that. They're scared to death of losing their salvation. You know, scared that they're not doing it right. Scared that they're, that maybe today's not my day. That I'm, you know, if I die tomorrow, I'll lose this. And to me, that's a scary, sad thought. Because the Lord makes it plain that it is not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. That it is a free gift. So, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, where we're placed into salvation, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And we know these verses, but this is where another powerful verse to me. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs. So that's where the Lord is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and we have that position. Positionally, we are part of that. Joint heirs, meaning we, joint is where you rule with. Almost, obviously, Christ is our head, but we're basically with Him. He sees us like, yeah, we're ruling together. So it's going to be a good thing. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. See, we have a little suffering going on here. You know, the Lord doesn't promise that everything's going to be cheesecake and candies, you know, that we're going to have our issues, you know, and that there's going to be tribulations. But we glory in our tribulations. And I feel when something happens to you, and as I learned here, that if you're sick or something, that sometimes a lot of people will gravitate to the Lord more. Something's happened to you, you know, because what happens is most people do when they're about to die, they pray, you know, they're like, oh God, oh mommy, or whatever, but they go straight to God, and they want to pray, because the first thing, because our tribulations, you know, I feel bring us closer to Him, and it does for me. I know when something happens to me, I'm like, oh no, Lord, what's going on, you know, please help me with this, yeah, please, but, I just feel that. So, you know, the suffering, you know, suffer with Him that we suffered for His glory. So, you know, that we promote and people are going to hate you. You know, I've worked with people where they're like, oh, you got God in the fairy tale time, you know, and they're always making fun of calling it fairy tales. And it's like, and you know, and it's crazy because these people aren't dumb. You know, these people are smart, but they're not wise in that area. You know, the Lord sees them as fools, and that they want to quickly, you know. And I can get into all time evolution. It's like evolution is a religion in its own. So people are, you know, believing in evolution. You believing that's a religion that you believe, and it gets break down as a religion. So you know, you just so yeah, but. You're going to have people who are going to mock you, who are going to look down on you, who are going to curse at you, they're going to laugh at you, they're going to just be like, look at this guy, Christian boy, you know, or Christian girl, this guy thinks he's holy or something, you know, that's how people think, I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over again, and you will get, but kind of embrace that because you got what we said. We got to seek those things which are in heaven, not on earth. Those people seek the things of the earth. So, you know, let them, you know, you can only do so much. Plant that seed. Maybe one day that something happened to them and they get saved. So that's what we're on. We don't want to hate them. Love thy enemies. You know, love your enemies. You know, that's the, we're under this love economy. So, and I want to finish off with verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I mean, can't you go to sleep at night with that and be like, yeah, I'll take that. You know, the sufferings of this world aren't even worthy for what we have revealed in us. And that's, and we can take that to the bank, you know. So I just want to finish with just seek and set those things which are in heaven, which are above. And the Lord is, you want to get in communication with the Lord, read your Bible. You know, you want to get see what He wants you to do, read. You know, study it. Get into it. Not just read it, study it. You know, and hear others, you know, pastors. And you want to get into rightly dividing and sound doctrine. So there's a lot of things going on. But did anybody have anything to say or add or anything?
It's only what we do for the Lord we take with us.
Amen. Yep. So that's what, there was a verse. I don't even think I got to it. Yeah, I didn't get to it. But there was another one. I think it's in Timothy. But yeah, I mean, we just set ourselves for heavenly. All right, we have a heavenly hope, and that's something we can hold our heads up high on, you know, and be grateful for. But anything else?
I want to comment about verse 20 in Galatians.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Most believers think that it's hard to serve. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the average Christian says that's hard. But Paul says it's impossible. We can't live it. We have to let Christ live it through us. And that's where we get into trouble, trying to live it ourselves by trying to be good enough. And you can't. You have to let the Christ that's in us live it through us. But we won't yield ourselves to him.
Amen.
So it's impossible.
No.
Unless you do it his way.
Do it Christ's way.
That's
I like
the way
that. To do it. So, that Christ liveth in us and let him do the work in you, you know? So, so thank you for listening. Hope you guys got some good stuff out of it. And I'll close this off prayer, brother. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to just have your words be spoken in the air and that we can take them and edify each other. Anything that we can learn more off of, let us just fellowship and talk about it. And but ultimately, we want you to be glorified and to have others just step into that realm of learning and studying and communicating with you through your word, because that's just so important. And we're just thankful for everyone here, and let us enjoy the rest of the day. In Jesus' name.